shall we read a poem from A Light in the Attic?
Hello all, and welcome to A Shall We Read a Poem. I'm Russ.
I'm Lauren.
How it do, Lauren?
I got people fucked with my face again.
How's your toofs?
What a fucking nightmare. I thought that I had a temporary crown on already after the endodontist. Turns out, no, I had just a temporary filling. And so today I actually got the crown. That was some, even though my tooth is like dead from the root canal, it was still really fucking painful. And also, I didn't realize they remove your entire fucking tooth.
Basically, yeah, you're left with a little nubbin.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Like, suddenly my tooth was gone, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yep. Reach down there and feel it with your tongue.
I did. I never should have, but I did.
Yeah.
It was horrifying.
You'll get used to it. Don't worry.
So now I have a temporary crown. And I hate it. And
how's your bite? Does it, like, close down good?
I mean, I never have, so remember, I can't chew my fingernails. Yeah. So I'm just like, I guess it's fine. I don't know. But anyway, they tore up my gum real bad because I'm just like feeling inflamed and in pain today. And I don't know. Last time it was more of a bone type pain because, you know, I don't know. They fucked with my jaw was hurting a lot. And this time it's just like, I don't know. Stop ripping my mouth up, and I have to go in one more time in 2 weeks and get the actual crown. And I just want everybody to stop fucking with my mouth.
Well, don't worry, because in the far future, like a decade and a half from now, you get to look forward to that crown failing, and then you can go in again for them to do exactly the same thing all over again. Yay. Dentistry. Remember,
hooray.
We need all these teeth. We definitely can't, like, replace them with some kind of cybernetic implant.
Well, that is an option.
I know, it's just so expensive.
It is expensive, and also they have to, like, maybe put it in a bone graft, and it seems all sorts of painful. And how do I know that won't fail?
You don't.
No.
We are God's perfect creations.
For sure.
Well, I'm going to read my poem kind of right off the bat because it builds into a larger story.
Okay.
So my poem is Fancy Dive. The fanciest dive that ever was dove was done by Melissa of Coconut Grove. She bounced on the board and flew into the air with a twist of her head and a twirl of her hair. She did 34 jackknives, backflipped and spun, quadruple gainered and reached for the sun, and then somersaulted 9 times and a quarter, and looked down and saw that the pool had no water.
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 There's an illustration.
My aunt said water.
Oh. It's a person tied up in a knot, presumably Melissa, arms and legs going every which unnatural way, and agape with horror as they plummet into this presumably waterless pool.
But she has someone watching.
Bemused, to say the least.
Yes.
I'm about to see somebody die.
Yeah, in a terrible, mangled way.
Well, I went back to Dallas for Easter. Originally, this was the trip where I was going to say goodbye to my grandmother, but she went ahead and died already. So this was kind of just the trip to go back and visit the family for Easter. My niece is 5 years old, which is prime Easterin time.
It sure is.
God, she's almost 6 now. I think, wow, that's wild. But so she is all into the Easter bunny and all the candies that come with and Easter egg hunts, which, when you're 5 years old, and I've seen those like in mass Easter egg hunts that you have at churches and things, it's not a hunt.
Mm-mm.
The children can't find things at that age. It's just an Easter egg pickup.
What are you talking about?
Have you been to an Easter egg hunt?
I mean, my parents used to put one on for a while.
Was it for small children or like grown children?
I mean, I remember Easter when I was 7.
Yeah.
I remember it, and I know we'd been doing it for a few years. I remember Easter when I was 7, because that was the first holiday after... Oh, I wasn't 7 yet. I was still 6. Yeah. I remember the Easter after my mother died, very shortly after she died. She died on April, I think, 12th. Mm. And then I think Easter was right after. Or maybe it was... Maybe Easter had already happened, and it was the year after. In any case, I remember my first Easter without her. Mm. And we had an egg hunt.
And were the eggs hidden?
So, I mean, not such the point that a child couldn't find them, but yes, they were actually hidden.
These Easter egg hunts that I've been seeing that my family did and that my niece's church did, they did it on a soccer field.
Uh-huh.
Like, these eggs aren't, they're just there. It's more like an Easter egg race, I guess you would say. Like, the children just pile onto the field and just start picking up eggs. There's no finding.
Oh. No, I mean, I lived in the woods, so there was, you know, things were like... somewhat tucked under plants and stuff. They were neon colored and plastic, so they stood out. But we would always find the Easter eggs that for the rest of the year, and often the squirrels will have drug them out from wherever it was trying to get to the candy. We would find these plastic eggs that squirrels had opened and chewed later. On.
That's funny. No, so there's no skill required. It's for tiny children. Though I have seen those videos of when, you know, like a city council or something loses its mind and tries to do something cute. Like the one time where they dropped the eggs out of a helicopter and it was like the world's worst hailstorm. You just had people screaming and running for cover, forgetting that I think that eggs have a terminal velocity.
Who thought that was an okay idea?
Who was it? Let me cite sources here. Egg. Who did that? Now I'm finding it difficult to find, because the ones I'm finding were when they did it sensibly. So they like took the helicopter away from the crowd and then dropped the eggs into a field, and then they said, like, go, and all the children
yes. Rather than on top of them.
But I'm trying to find the one where they dropped them just straight the hell on the people.
Were there injuries?
I can't find it. I'll link it in the show notes. Y'all can do your own research. It's posted by the Daily Mail, so there you go. Here, you can watch it if you want to.
Sure. The Daily Mail, you're never really sure, like...
Yeah, it's not a real newspaper. Exactly.
But sometimes they actually do report on things that are right, and you're incredibly surprised. I needed to see more of that. It's very short. Someone scream, and someone screams somebody else's name, and I didn't get to see anybody get pelted with one.
Well, anywho, good news is my story is not about eggs falling from a helicopter. So, a lot of this trip was, you know, entertaining my niece and seeing, you know, what she was up to, and she is at the age where she talks absolutely nonstop and is developing a pretty impressive vocabulary.
Oh,
but
good.
Not using the words quite right.
Right. Well, that's the way we all did.
But it's very cute because she sounds like someone, trying to be professorial. And so
I love it. She's going to be a precocious asshole. You'll love it.
She will be. But she calls me Uncle Bubby. And so it's like, Uncle Bubby, would you like to naturally walk to the car? It's like,
I love it. I love it. She's going to be a precocious asshole.
So that led to a talk with my mom and my mom's boyfriend at the time. Not at the time. I mean, he's still her boyfriend.
I was going to say, wow, that was fast.
Weird phrasing. And my mom's boyfriend about taking care of his grandkids versus taking care of my little niece.
Mm-hmm.
He has boys. And so it's like, if they come over to go swimming or something... The boys playing with a swimming pool is they scream a lot, they throw each other in the pool, they jump in the pool, they try to drown each other, they get out, they jump in the pool again, then try to drown each other some more.
Okay.
With my niece, getting to the diving bit, she stages elaborate scenarios that this guy is not prepared for at all. So it's like, it's not swimming for her. It's just a new stage to set plays.
Oh, so I love it.
Her latest game was, and this is this past summer when she was swimming, she brought all of her Disney princess Barbies and lined them up alongside of the pool. And then she got into the pool, as, you know, genteelly as one can, and made them dive into the pool. But not before instructing my mom's boyfriend that he had to make signs like the Olympic judges have, like 8, 9, 10, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And judge all of the Disney princesses' dives into
and
the
I'm
pool.
Sure she yelled at him when he got the score wrong.
Oh, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
But that idea with very, I don't know, like other audience participatory play, it like, my mom and I were arguing whether that was like unique to girls.
Well, I mean, my sibling and I put on shows with our friend, our male friend who lived very close, but he was also quite gay, so I don't know.
There was one of those videos where it's why women live longer than men, and you have the little girl with her tea party set up and engaging in conversation with stuffed animals around her. Then midway through the video, it cuts to two little boys standing next to a one of those mechanical trash cans with the foot uh-huh. open lid, and one uh-huh. of them will stand behind it. The other stomps on the pedal as hard as he can so that the lid swings open and smashes the other kid in the face. They laugh gleefully and switch places.
That's the game. Yes, 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 yes.
That's the game. Thunk. Boys are dumb. Well,
and
that was
I mean,
a
they're
long
sensory
walk down a windy beach to a cafe. That
sensory things. I assume it's a lot of it's like just interesting sensory things, like getting mm-hmm. bonged in the head. Maybe when you're a very small child is an interesting sensory thing before you realize, no, actually the sensation is not pleasant and I hate it.
Or you grow up to be a professional wrestler.
You know, the an interesting sensory thing I had as an older child was we would be on the fold-up couch bed of a friend, and sometimes we would close it on each other.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that and being like, whoa, this feels really cool.
I'm and it's back very in the much, womb.
It's very much similar. I didn't really understand that that feeling until I watched, I learned about Temple Grandin and Temple's the hug machine or whatever one she used when she was younger. And I was like, oh, okay. It's just, that's why it felt really nice.
Soothing. My friends did that to me. They would sit on the couch and not let me out. Did you have any experience with your forearms? How if you like did this, it was like an ASMR chill thing. And for listeners,
stroking
I'm running my
your forearms.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't like it. No, it tickles.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it tickles. I don't like it.
Now, I'm going to complain about subjectively judged Olympic sports.
Okay.
They're dumb.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Let's say you wanted to be a diver. This is a sport. And so, like, there has to be a goal for the sport. I didn't know how Olympic diving was judged. So, okay. The primary factors affecting the scoring of Olympic diving are, if a handstand is required, the length of time and quality of the hold. The height of the diver at the apex of the dive with extra height resulting in a higher score. The distance of the diver from the diving apparatus throughout the dive. A diver must not be dangerously close, should not be too far away, but should ideally be within approximately 2 feet of the platform. The properly defined body position of the diver according to the dive being performed, including pointed toes and feet touching at all times. The proper amounts of rotation and revolution upon completion of the dive and entry into the water. Angle of entry. A diver should enter the water straight without any angle. Amount of splash. Many judges award divers for the amount of splash created by a diver on entry, with less splash resulting in a higher score. Also, each dive is assigned a degree of difficulty which is determined from the combination of moves undertaken, position used, and height. The degree of difficulty value is multiplied by the scores given by the judges. And you're going to tell me that people are going to agree on that?
No, of course not.
Get fucked. Give it something objective. So what is the reason in the world that diving would be a sport? Unless you're diving for something like clams or oysters or what the hell.
That's a different sort of diving, though. Yes.
Well, good. The other one has no practical value. So what you do is get rid of all that shit, put a whole lot of clams on the bottom, and the winner is the one who gets the most clams. Russ, then that's a competition about breath holding. Good. They have to dive first.
I'm sure they have these competitions, Russ.
Diving's stupid.
I'm sure they have like underwater diving competitions.
It's like name a diver.
I'm sure.
See, even swimming's better. Like you could name a swimmer, Michael Phelps.
Yeah, Michael Phelps.
Yeah, but however, it is a trick question. You want to know a famous diver, Jason Statham?
Who? Oh, right. I remember you told me about his. Wait, did I learn about Jason Statham from you on here or on your other podcast, Hey James, Watch This?
I have no idea. They're one and the same.
Yeah, that's fair.
But and that's why he's famous for speaking with a horrible Cockney accent on camera and not for diving. Diving's dumb.
You don't like to watch people do fancy shit in the air?
Yeah, I like them to swing around on ribbons.
Yeah, that is actually more exciting. It's prettier.
The winningest diver in Olympic history is a man named Dmitry Sautin. He is Russian, born 1974.
Winningest, I assume, is an objective thing, being how many medals he has won?
He has won more medals.
All right.
He medaled at the Olympics in 1992, 1996, 2000, 2004, and 2008.
Wow, that's a 12-year span. That's pretty good.
That is, oh golly, there's just so many, because, you know, in 2 gold, 2 silver, and 4 bronze. There you go.
What's the highest thing you've jumped off of into the water?
Not very much.
Me neither.
I think my old, like, YMCA had, like, a 10-foot board.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
I think maybe 14 feet for me. I'm very afraid of heights, and I don't actually like the impact of the water from high up, and I get water up my nose if it's too high, and so all of these things I'm just not really into. When we were in Japan, I went on this canyoning thing that it was supposed to be like, I thought it was going to be like natural water slides and stuff. No, they made you like fall down a waterfall at one point, and that was the most scared I've ever... Well, they you were tethered, and then they let you go, and I was so scared actually at that point, I against my will started screaming and told them to bring me back, but of course they couldn't hear me and they dropped me, and I was fine once they dropped me, but
once
they resurfaced, but yeah, but oh god. And then afterward, people were jumping off a ledge, and a lot of people did it, and I considered it, and I kept talking about doing it. They were like, you should just do it. I'm like, I'm really scared I'm gonna hit myself on something on the way down. They were like, well, you should do it, you'll be glad you did it even if you're scared. And I'm like, no, I don't actually work like that. That's not how I am. I'm almost never happy that I did something that scared me. I'm usually just like, wow, that feeling was really unpleasant. I don't think I'll do that again.
I've jumped off of things into lakes or that kind of thing, but none of them were high. It was always like, it couldn't have been more than 10 feet. Of course, when you're a kid, it feels like you're jumping off a fucking building, but...
I have a new neighbor who runs a skydiving business, and so he was talking to me a lot about whether I would enjoy skydiving, and I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't like the feeling of falling, and I don't like being scared, and I don't like planes. And he was just like, well, you'll probably be like, even if you're scared, you'll probably be like happy that you did it. And I'm like, I don't really work that way.
What about the like indoor skydiving where they put you on top of the big fan and it like blows you up in the air, you know?
I don't know.
I haven't
tried it.
Are you familiar with the Japanese mascot Chiton?
No.
Chiton is a fairy otter who is perpetually 0 years old.
Oh, okay.
I suspect that you have seen Chiton and don't...
All right, show me this cute little thing.
Just don't know. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know what exactly I was expecting. It certainly doesn't look like this thing is 0 years old. This thing looks like a crotchety old housewife.
Well, note the baby bottle hanging around its neck.
Oh, the baby bottle, and I guess that's a baby bonnet rather than like something, some somebody's house hat or whatever.
But you could be easily confused because Chiton's MO is typically trying to destroy things or trying to replicate stunts.
This thing has a bat, I guess? I don't know. It looks kind of like it could be a rolling pin.
It is a bat.
Okay.
The bat is one of its trademarks. It hits things with it. But there's a wonderful video of Chiton in a one of those tubes, but the head is weighing it down. And so the body is flailing in the wind and the head.
That sounds pretty adorable. This thing looks kind of like...
a fairy otter.
I don't know. It looks very round and very sassy.
What was the what was the best mascot for you?
That's one of those things where you ask me and now I'm like, what? I don't know. I can't remember any. I remember like the weird pony thing for that was Komogata, but I don't like. It probably wasn't my favorite.
This is Kabuchan, the horseshoe crab.
Okay, mascot, I'm ready for this.
Mascot of Saijo Ehime.
Okay, I see. So this thing looks kind of like a chestnut that combined with maybe a porcupine and... You see, its front is the bottom of the horseshoe crab. It has just like this giant eyes on its on its front, or which would be its underside, and the smiley mouth. And then I guess what are the gills, or maybe those are like the place where it holds the eggs, or maybe it's both of those things that is sort of a heart shape on the bottom. Yes. I don't know. This thing is a monstrosity.
It's a festival.
And it's wearing a hat.
It has a little sailor's
hat.
Now, that one is great. I think the untouchable grand champion is Kanchan.
Okay, Kanchan.
And here is Kanchan. Okay.
I like this one. This one is like a bottle that's also a duck.
It's a penguin. Yes, very good.
Oh, a penguin. Okay.
Kanchan is the mascot for Ichijiku Pharmaceuticals. It is an enema.
That's not what I expected. I expected it to be for like some kind of like sake or something like that. Nope. But no, it's an enema.
Kanchan is an enema.
Kanchan. Okay. It's an enema. Okay.
GM Chrysler.
I'm so glad they have mascots for everything.
Me too. I'd love to be one. We had a friend who was.
Probably could.
Well, Jesus, do you have any uplifting thoughts to lead us out?
Well, it's not that was not that wasn't particularly depressing of an episode. I've started taking some things out of my garden to eat, like some leeks. And
leeks.
Some arugula. And I could probably harvest some rhubarb if I wanted, but it seems a bit early.